Blog Talk Radio.
Metal Hammer of Doom, and I am your host, the Mandated Reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified, Mr. Mark Rattledge. We are back after a week hiatus. Hurricane Irma fucked up all my shit. I was sequestered in the jail from Saturday through Monday afternoon, and then I was living at my in-laws while we had power, didn't have power, had power, lost power, got power back again. We were supposed to review the Living Color album. I'll just tell you it's good. I really enjoyed it. I would have liked to have played it on here and talked about it, but inclement weather has prevented that from happening. And so the Metal Hammer of Doom rolls on. Tonight, we are going to review the debut self-titled album from supergroup Prophets of Rage. And Prophets of Rage consists of the non-Zach De La Roca members of Rage Against the Machine, Chuck D, and DJ Lord of Public Enemy, who also have a new album out, by the way. 2017, Public Enemy still putting out new music. And Be Real of Cypress Hill. Earlier in the year, we looked at Sendog's new metal project, Power Flow. Well, this is Be Real. Be Real did it first. they put out an EP that was a combination of some of the covers that they did and one new song, I think. This is a full-length album. No covers, no Rage Against the Machine stuff, no Public Enemy stuff, no Cypress Hill stuff. All new material. We're going to play it tonight and review it for your listening pleasure. And, of course, joining me to do that is the man that started out as the student and is now the teacher. He's graduated from Padawan to Jedi. He has been holding it down when Robert Cooper cannot be found. He is the disapproving dad and the host of Source Material in his own right. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesse Starcher, how do you do, sir?
Doing well. You know, you call these guys a super group, all right? The other thing that you can count on that's being super when these guys get together is their politics, all right? Now, if there isn't something that Rage Against the Machine is known for, it's certainly their songs about political, it's just a horrible political climate. And how things are horrible, and you just never came away with didn't come away with a feeling of contentness when you listen to Rage Against the Machine, and then you tack on Public Enemy, who is there to clearly when you have albums such as what was one of their It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back, Fear of a Black Planet, my friends, yes, Public Enemy tag teaming with Rage Against the Machine members. But you know what will level things out? Throw in Be Real from Cypress Hill, okay? He's going to bring the weed, and you know things will mellow out at some point.
No, unfortunately, that's when the paranoia kicks in, and they're worried about drones. They fly over, they fly over.
Oh, they fly over.
Let me ask you a question. In Ohio, a battleground state, if you will, have you had to worry about drones fly over your home?
Is this a growing concern? No, sir. I live in a nice little suburban neighborhood. Okay, maybe that's my problem. I don't live in the hood of Marietta, and I don't see the drones. I've traveled through the hood many a time, and I've never seen anything hovering or flying over, targeting anybody. So no, drones are not something that at least our little community has to worry about. Unfortunately, now, it sounds like things are different in other spots in the nation.
Well, I want to ask now. You, I don't want to out you completely with what you do. That's your business, and this is a fun podcast.
Sure.
But you do work with the public in some fashion. You deal with people in a public way. Do they often complain to you about the drones that are flying over?
Not one damn person has ever said anything about drones being an issue because they didn't get their benefits because of the drones. No, that did not happen ever.
Okay. All right. Because I mean, look, I've been in a lot of hoods in my years. I have been in a lot of poor neighborhoods.
Now, wait. You also work with the public yourself, okay?
Yes.
Now, so same question right back at you. Who's coming in? You get more of a selection than I do of some crazy wackadoos. So you get to tell me.
And here's the thing. In all the hoods I've been in, even, you know, as recently as the last, like, 10 years or so, whether I hear it from them or saw it with my own eyes, not a lot of drone action. These guys in Prophets of Rage are very worried about drones overhead. And if this were Afghanistan, if this were some Muslim country in Africa or the Middle East, I would get it. Sure.
We could see it.
You would definitely have to worry about a drone shooting missiles at you. I mean, even Patton Oswalt joked about that with President Obama, where, you know, they were killing people with drones. But here in the good old US of A, I'm not entirely sure Chuck D and Be Real are being watched with drones. Maybe they are. Maybe in the midst of doing whatever it is that they do, they walked out of their house one day and saw a drone fly over, and Chuck D was like, fucking CIA. Always trying to monitor me. I mean,
I was waiting for the song about the chemtrails. That was where I was just waiting for that to happen.
I know that, like, the guys in Slipknot talked about how, like, the FBI, I think, like, has a file on them. Like, the FBI has a file on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And just because they have a file on you doesn't mean anything's going to happen with it. They're just – they monitor anything that might be – but, you know, they might conceivably be a threat to the nation, and the guy made a point of anything that's, like, big and angry, you know, or gets a huge following and is in any way anti-establishment is gonna garner attention. What you can do with it, you know, if they're not really breaking any laws, is nothing. But you can catch the attention of the federal government. And maybe Chuck D has, and maybe to a lesser degree, because I can't imagine what the fuck Be Real did in his career in Cypress Hill. When the government was like, that goddamn Cypress Hill, they're a threat to the country, you know. Oh, I could just kill a man. All right, open up a file. They could just kill a man. You know, like drug cartels, terrorists, fucking Cypress Hill.
So anyway.
So there's going to be a lot of drone talk tonight as we get through Prophets of Rage. And if that's a concern for the individuals in this band, fine. I respect that.
At least they get the message across in a nice, funky way, I would say, because this isn't a horrible album. I can't wait to talk about it.
Let me before we get into Rage Against the Prophets of Rage, let me talk a little bit about Rage Against the Machine, because I actually was listening to a little bit of that today. I was inspired to listen to it because I got through the Prophets of Rage album, and I felt it. I was left wanting.
Sure.
And I was very, last year, I think it was. Yeah, it was last year, last summer. For my birthday, I got to go see Prophets of Rage. And I was really excited about it. And it ended up being one of my favorite shows of the year. Not that there was a whole lot of competition. But I used to love Rage Against the Machine back when I was in high school and college. Dating myself here. And I loved Public Enemy. And to a lesser degree, I loved Cypress Hill. And I was into the angry political stuff. But what made specifically Rage Against the Machine so special to me was how passionate they sounded about whatever it was bugging them at the time. And even whether or not I agreed or even knew what the fuck they were talking about, it was like Pantera for me. I identified with their anger and passion more than I did the actual content of their music. And so all these years later, hearing Chuck D and Cypress Hill take over the rapping portion of a lot of the Rage Against the Machine stuff, it brought me back to that same level of passion that I had for the band. You know, that anger was there, that passion was there. And I know, and it doesn't matter what inspired it. It just brought me back to a different time. And so when I saw that there was going to be a Prophets of Rage album, a full album of new material, I thought, okay, they're going to take that same level of anger and passion, and you're going to hear it in this album. And the political frustration is definitely there.
Yes.
But this album seriously lacks passion. And I'm not the only one that says that. The reviews on this have been mixed to meh, and a lot of it is Chuck D and Be Real sound like they're sleepwalking through a lot of this. And look, it's not a bad album by any stretch of the imagination. We're going to go ahead and get this started in just a minute. But go back and listen to Bulls on Parade, okay? Either, you know, pull out your Evil Empire or go put on your copy of Guitar Hero 3. Take a drink.
I will.
and listen to just how, it just comes through the speaker how intense they are. And there's nothing that rises to that level of intensity on this album. And that's a shame. That's a disappointment.
Let me just step in here real quick, because I had to double check something. You talk about sleepwalking through the album and you know, the rage, maybe the passion's gone. Can you – don't look, unless you already know this already, but do you know how old Chuck D is?
Chuck D had to be in his 20s when I was in elementary school, which probably puts him – in the 50 or 60 range.
You're right. 57 years old, born August 1st, 1960. So
yeah.
you're encroaching on, you know, get off my lawn territory at some point here. And I mean, as a black man who grew up and did Public Enemy and went through all of this, you know, all this counterculture stuff that he did, and, you know, anti-political, but I mean, it was very politically driven lyrics and
anti-government.
Band. And, yeah. Thank you. There you go.
Anti-government.
Yeah. As you get older, shit just wears you down. You're just like, all right, I got to talk about this again. And I mean, at 57 years old, he's got to be getting tired of saying the same old stuff, because unfortunately, yeah, we may have seen a little bit of change, a little bit of progress, but the same issues are still there. You just got, you know, obviously you got drones to worry about there, Mr. 57-year-old. What? I'm surprised he can see them. Apparently he hears them, though. They fly over, they fly over.
All right. Yeah, I think that's a good point. You know, if you have an opportunity to see Prophets of Rage live, they don't sound like they're sleepwalking. It was a very lively, energetic, passionate, angry show. And it was funny because I was 40 years old when I saw this group, and not that I've aged much. It was a year ago. I'm only 41 now.
Back in those days.
But you know, my wife remarked, she was like, you know, for a bunch of old shits, you know, you and the band itself, I haven't seen you this lively in a very long time. None of it translates on this album, though.
Okay.
This album gets a little preachy, gets a little long in the tooth at times. There's some good stuff on here, but I'll talk a little bit about this as we get to the end of this, but I just wish they could have channeled a little bit more Bulls on Parade and a little less I Want to Get High So High.
Yeah.
So, with that said, here's our opening track. This is Radicalize. Radicalized. Well, if you ever, it was like, what does Rage Against the Machine sound like? It sounds like that. That's Rage Against the Machine. Like, if you just take out the vocals and you just want to hear, like, you want to hear, like, what is the quintessential Rage Against the Machine sound? It was that, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is.
I want to ask you.
Yeah, go ahead. I was going to say that. You hear this first opening track, you could definitely tell, well, yeah, that's Chuck D, and that's definitely Tom Morello, and Rage Against the Machine. This is Public Enemy, Rage Against the Machine coming together. You could definitely tell those two apart and coming together felt so good. It's peanut butter and jelly, man. This is all I need is a nice big glass of milk or a big doobie, and I am down. This is some good stuff.
You know, I couldn't help but contrast it with Zach De La Rocha's vocalizations, and Zach always sounded like he was yelling at someone.
True.
Like he, the difference between Chuck D has that East Coast, it's not like a stutter step vocalization, but his rap style is chunky peanut butter. It is very like, like if you listen to some of these other guys, they're so smooth. There's a lot of smooth rappers out there. It's very methodical.
Yes.
Though his stylization, and Be Real's even smoother in Cypress Hill than he is with a lot of these songs. I don't know if it's because they're doing it over metal or not, but that was the one, I think that was part of why it sounds the way that it does, is you take away that angry yelling rap style and you put in this guy who's, you know, you know, and it just sounds like, it sounds like your dad, giving you a lecture.
He's only a few years younger.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and play this next one. This next one's actually really good. It's one of my favorites on here. But we need to talk about Tom Morello at some point, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. But this is on Fuck. This is on Fuck the World. That one's a little heavier, a little harder. Be Real sounds a little bit smoother. Chuck D sounds like Chuck D. here's what I wanted to say about Tom Morello. Listening to Rage Against the Machine earlier, Tom Morello used to do some really fun stuff with his guitar.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they did not have a DJ in Rage Against the Machine, but he would do some stuff with his guitar that sounded like they were, like, scratching records.
Sure.
And it was one of the really fun parts of Rage Against the Machine. There's nothing like that on this album.
Oh, well, I don't know about that, because we definitely got at least the Chicken Song. The Chicken Song is one example of Tom Morello going batshit crazy with his guitar. Granted, it's not anything spectacular, but if anybody can make a guitar sound like a chicken, this is it.
Which one's the Chicken Song?
When we get to the Chicken Song, here, hold on. I think it is. I gotta find the song list. That's going to be Strength in Numbers, my friend. Just wait. You just wait.
Okay.
We'll get there. All right, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
I don't remember any chicken noises, and I am a connoisseur of chicken noises.
Yeah. Well, too bad you missed it. It's all over the damn song. It's the whole song.
Okay.
but no, yeah, he doesn't do a whole lot of experimentation or weird stuff throughout here. There, I mean, he's still obviously an impressive guitarist, but nothing to blow your socks off. It's kind of, hey, I'm here. That's my signature sound, but not doing a whole lot with it.
Yeah, I mean, this definitely sounds like a Rage Against the Machine album, minus the really fun, interesting guitar stuff that Tom Morello used to do.
Yeah.
What did you think of Unfuck the World?
Well, I have one question for you, Mark Radulich. Have you ever tried to unfuck something?
Yes. It's usually like IKEA furniture.
It could be tough. Yeah. It could be tough. Yeah. It's a good political driven song too, and I like the message behind it. It's one of the best ones off of here.
All right. This one's not bad either. This is Living on the 110.
That's a really sad song. It's about, you know, it's about a guy who, or it's about poverty pretty much, but it's still good and still got a great beat to it. Did we skip Legalize Me?
Oh shit, we did.
Okay, I'm just making sure. I didn't know if you did it on purpose. That's fine. I didn't want to make a mistake and not actually have it on there.
Nope. I probably skipped it because I hate this song.
Oh, come on. You hate Legalize Me, dude. Now, here's the thing. With this album, I was very, very critical of it at the beginning when I first heard it, because I was like, all right, here we go. Political. We got Rage. We got Public Enemy to coming together. It's going to be powerful. But what I realized is the less serious that I take this, thank goodness Take Me Higher's on here to make me realize I don't need to take this album completely seriously. So the less serious I take this album, the more I find that I really enjoy it. So just a little PSA for me, for people out there who are really going into this thinking it's something that's political and going to blow your socks off.
All right, so here we go. This is Jesse's favorite song on the album. This is Legalize Me.
Do you think that song came from out of the group there?
B-Real's contribution. Like, you know what we need on this? Listen, Chuck, stop writing all the songs about drones for just 1 minute. We need a song about weed. You know,
clearly.
Look, I am a huge advocate of legalizing drugs, and I see the importance of it. But, like, I just don't get excited about it the way some of these guys do. And I hear songs like this, and it just feels like that's all they want out of life is to be high. It's like...
Oh, come on now. This is... There's a political drive here, man. As fun as it sounds to continue to smoke up, you know that there is a political drive to try and get the legalization of marijuana out there. And Prophets of Rage want to let people know where they stand on this political issue. Legalize it.
I'm just not interested in this song. Like, I remember the first time I heard it, I was like, this one produced a huge eye roll for me. Like you could hear my eyes rolling.
No. another.
They smoke in Colorado.
It is another. It's another track that, again, reminded me, don't take this shit so seriously. Don't do it, because you're going to get upset about what you expected versus what these guys brought to the table.
I will give it one positive critique, and that is, you know, one thing that has remained consistent and probably the saving grace of this entire album is that Rage Against the Machine did retain the funk.
Oh yeah.
There are definitely some funky bass lines and guitar riffs in this album. This is one of the funkier ones, and that's fine. I just thought that the lyrical content was could not be less interesting.
Okay. I'm going to make a playlist for you, Mark Radlich. All marijuana related songs.
I want to get high.
Cypress Hill would probably be at least 5 or 10 of those.
Yeah.
So we can count on that.
All right. This one's another one of the heavier ones on here. Excuse me. If I remember correctly, this is track 6. We are skipping the counteroffensive. It's just noise.
Yeah, interlude.
Yeah. So we're going to move right along here to track number 6. This is Hail to the Chief.
Who came?
right. That's a really good one.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad that's one of the few one here where Chuck D sounds like he woke up, and it wasn't rapping in that like monotone way that I was talking about before. Yeah, Be Real, too, was really changing it up and, doing some interesting rap style there. So, yeah, I like this one a lot.
You know, you talking about that makes me wonder about the production of the album, where maybe some songs such as this one, Chuck D and Be Real come together and are like, okay, we've got a great rap. Here's what we're going to rap about. And then they just lay it out there. And then Morella's just like, all right, here we go. I'm just going to go ahead and listen to what you got. You guys turn it loose. And then they send over the audio track to Morello, and then he just lays out whatever he wants in the background. So maybe they feel more comfortable just rapping and then allowing the band to kind of pick up the background and go around them. And then maybe the songs where Chuck D sounds a little bit more laid back or quiet or just kind of undertoned is one where he's trying to rap along with the music. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
That's a really good pickup, because you're right. That doesn't sound like he was trying to match the music at all. It just sounds like he was rapping.
Yes.
Like a cappella.
Exactly.
And then, it sounded to right now, that's probably the closest to Rage Against the Machine I've heard all album.
Mm-hmm.
Like that could have easily been on Battle of Los Angeles or Evil Empire, and I wouldn't have missed a beat. Like that's one of the first songs on here that I'm not missing Zach De La Roca.
Yeah, yeah, and you ever? I'm sure you have. Like in the past, somebody's probably shared like mashup videos where they've took one band. Like the most recent one I saw, my sister shared with me, which was have you ever heard of the Wiggles Fruit Salad Yummy Yummy?
What now?
Okay. Have you ever heard of, let me do this. Have you ever heard of the Wiggles?
Vaguely. I can't pick them out of a lineup or anything, but I'm pretty sure I've heard of the Wiggles.
The Wiggles are like, a kid's show, I believe. And they had a lot of popular kids songs, one of which was Fruit Salad Yummy Yummy. Okay. So Fruit Salad okay. Yummy Yummy. My sister sent me a mashup of that with, I think it was one of Slipknot's songs and Corey Taylor's vocals. And it sounded amazing. Okay. Now that's similar to what it sounds like we got here. We got somebody that's going, hey, let's take some Rage Against the Machine and lay Chuck D and Be Real over it. And we got a mashup. No, that's not the case. We actually have the band putting this out there. But anyway, yeah. So it just feels like both of them are in their right element in this song.
I heard a mashup that was jumpin' and something else, and it was like I at one point I had a whole CD full of mashups. I feel like
I could see that.
I feel like one was like Destiny's Child and Nirvana. That was really good.
Nice. Beastie Boys had a couple out there, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Beastie Boys mashed up with a couple like EDM tracks or something. But
oh, I know there's a Beastie Boys track called Rock Hard. Which is basically them rapping over Back in Black.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, if you can find that, it's definitely worth a listen. I remember hearing it on the radio like years ago, and it took me forever to find it. Now, I mean, you can just, as an experiment here, I will go to YouTube right now, and I will go Rock Hard by Beastie Boys. Rock Hard, Beastie. Yep, there it is.
Right there? Sharing right
there.
Now.
Yep, Beastie Boys, Rock Hard. Here we go. So
nice.
We should listen to that tonight.
I'll grab it. I can grab it. Just tag me in the link. Post the link or send it to me. Or if you want me to, I'll guess I'll go and find it. You won't make me type Rock Hard.
No. Let me help you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm on the wrong thing now. Here we go.
Why does that do that?
Live, everybody.
Yes, listen to us type things into our Windows browsers and our there it is. All right.
Okay.
I'll grab it. I'll have it up here in a few.
Okay. Let's go ahead and play this next shit song.
I can't wait for this one.
This is Take Me Higher. That song.
No.
First of all, they just straight lyrically ripped off Mama Said Knock You Out.
Yeah, I think they rip off a few things in this song, man. I haven't had a chance to research it, but I swear there's a couple other things that they throw in there. Is the Take Me Higher stuff off is that completely ripped off of something as well? I swear it is.
What do you mean by the Take Me Higher stuff?
Where they take me higher. I swear that's from a song as well. Possibly
can
titled
take me
Higher.
I was going to say.
Can you take me higher?
I was like, well, there's a song that's like, can you take me higher? It's like, oh, God, it's like Firehouse or some shit.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. But yeah, okay. All right. Here's the thing.
Yeah, that whole thing that Be Real was doing was that was straight out of fucking Mama Said Knock You Out.
Yeah, LL
they
Cool
changed J. They changed a word or two here or there, but that's pretty much what it was. And like, it's one thing to like sample a beat; it's a whole other thing to steal somebody else's lyrics.
I really, really gave these guys a lot of shit for this song. I know I have in our message group, and the thing is that I have found that it has become my – I think this may be my favorite song off this album. I am sad to report.
Jesus.
I am sad to report that this song I have listened to the most within the last – well, today
Why?
For sure. I've listened to it at
Why?
Least 10 times. It is –
oh,
dude,
God.
As unoriginal as it is, I swear it's just – it's the funk, dude. It's the funk behind it. And they do a good job of, like I said, making me realize don't take these guys so seriously. Tell me.
You know what it is? The beat is their cover of How I Could Just Kill a Man.
Is it really?
Yeah, go back and listen to it. Here. I'm gonna go ahead and play.
They ripped off so much shit.
I'm gonna go ahead and play Beastie Boys Rock Hard to wash the taste of fucking Take Me Higher out of my mouth. Go ahead and find Cypress Hill covering How I Could Just Kill a Man. It's the same goddamn beat. And like we'll play them back to back again, just to prove my point. But ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't heard this yet, if you are the metal faithful and you're not as familiar with the Beastie Boys, this is from several years ago. They put it on wax. It's the new style. This is Beastie Boys sampling AC/DC's Back in Black. This is Rock Hard. Get loose, get loose. That's the shit right there.
Some good stuff.
It was. All right. Did you grab the How I Could Just Kill a Man or no?
Yes. Yes, it's on there. Look under Cypress.
All right.
Or the bottom. Where they usually end up.
I'm gonna go ahead and play Take Me Higher again. I want you to listen to the beat. All right, ready?
All right, I'll do my best.
Now here we go. This is you know what? It was Rage Against the Machine covering How I Could Just Kill a Man, not
Oh, well,
Fender
son
version.
Of a bitch. Jeez.
But you know what? I always enjoyed listening to it. If you could go find that for me, I'll go ahead and play.
Yeah, well, listen to all three versions tonight.
There we go. Here we go. This is you go get the Rage Against the Machine version of How I Could Just Kill a Man, and we'll go ahead in the Wayback Machine, and here's How I Could Just Kill a Man by Cypress Hill. Shut the fuck up. Okay, here we go. Now listen, do I need to play Take Me Higher again?
No, I remember.
Okay, here we go. Rage Against the Machine, How I Could Just Kill a Man from the Renegades album. I was bumping that shit in my car with my 3-year-old in tow.
Oh, man.
I'm just, I'm driving. I'm looking back. I'm like, Jonas, here is something you can't understand. He's like, it's nap time.
Yeah, I feel what you're saying there. I can hear the similarities for sure. There is, well, again, I don't take the song seriously enough to be like, okay, well, that gets down marks for me. I'd already got down marks when the drones were flying over. And
okay, listen, I you know me. You know, if they're fucking with an anchor, I'm like, yes, more of that.
Please.
I like a nice silly song every once in a while, but I just felt like Take Me Higher was a bunch of hot garbage thrown together. It was uninspired. You know, I mean, never mind the drones, they fly over. Again, stop ripping off somebody else's rhymes and come up with an original bass line. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Still my favorite song.
All right. Well, you know what? No accounting for taste.
Well, let's get the chicken song. We got chicken song up next.
Who's going chicken hunting? We's going chicken hunting.
Oh, by the way, that went down without a sound, didn't it? Weren't like the Nazis and the freaking Juggalos supposed to fight in Washington there like this past Saturday?
Oh, I don't know, dude.
You have no idea what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah,
you were in a hurricane or some shit.
Yeah, I had to worry about my house being blown away. I had other concerns.
I understand.
I was held hostage in my county jail. You know, I almost became an inmate myself. So I don't know what the fuck's going on. All right, this is Strength in Numbers.
Way that this song gets published or put out there on an album and it not be titled The Chicken Song.
It should have been called Who's Going Chicken Hunting.
Here's what it reminds me of. Have you ever gone to like the grocery store and you're getting ready to leave and a kid sees those things on the side where you put your quarters in, you get yourself a little bubble with a prize in it? Well, we used to have one up here and there was a chicken, and inside the chicken were the little plastic eggs. And that whatever it was, and then when you put the 50 cents in or the quarter in, it would vend it. But when it did that, the little thing spun, and it sounded exactly like what we just heard.
It's really been called Bugger. All right. Let's see if I can get through about a minute and 30 seconds of this without laughing again.
Yes, please.
All right, here we go. Strength in Bugger.
Left for dead. With the eyes on the sheep, he's been looking at peace. Life is saving for the time. Fool
Thanks. That's my favorite song on the album by far.
Okay.
And I don't think that's Tom. We were talking before about, like, oh, Tom Morello doesn't really do anything interesting, and your argument was, yeah, but the chicken sound. I'm pretty sure that's DJ Lord.
Oh, you think so? You think he's getting in there? No. No.
That doesn't
sound
like a guitar sound to me.
Dude,
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
Dude, the whole thing is...
And here's
that's
the thing.
DJ Lord.
It's such a fucking politically, like, powerful song, too. And I'm supposed to take it seriously with that bullshit happening in the background. I can't do it.
Listen, you said, listen, man, fuck you. Because here's what you said. You took, like, you said, like, take me higher, which is just the most horrible thing, right? It's ripped off lyrics and a ripped off beat and just jammed together for a peanut butter and vinegar sandwich. And you're like, it's my favorite. I take my pants off to it. You know, I'm like, okay. But no, fuck that, because the and you're rapping over it. Yeah.
Oh, dude. Right, come
I'm all
on.
About the chicken sounds. Strength in numbers, baby. That just I literally just turned on Spotify and was like, and grabbed Strength in Numbers and put it on the MHOD Best of 2017.
It's on there. It's made it. Well, it's definitely going to be instantly recognized. As soon as 10 seconds hit into that song, we're going to immediately recognize them.
That's fan-fucking-tastic. Strength in numbers.
Oh, man. Well,
that's genius right there. Yeah, like, because I could imagine, like, that was the last part that they added. They're just like, all right, we got, you know, we got that typical Rage Against the Machine beat. You know, we've got an angrier than normal. Both Chuck D and Be Real sounded like they were actually, like, alive during that
song.
Yeah,
dude.
It's like,
that's the truth.
It's missing something. It's missing an element. And DJ Lord saves the day with his, like, you know what it's missing? Fucking chicken sounds.
Fucking chickens. I mean, come on. There was either a very serious production failure here to understand that we are putting something back behind these guys that may garner a little bit more attention than what we need. That would be the chicken. Oh, okay. All right. Now, like I said, we may have to figure out and see if there's any leads on the internet as to you believe it's DJ Lord. I believe it's Tom Morello going insane. We'll have to find out. We'll see if we can get an answer to this.
Okay. Maybe we can have someone from Prophets of Rage on the Metal Hammer.
Oh,
the only interview I'll ever do. It'll be the only time we ever have a guest on. Like, Gavin's been trying to get me to get these guys from, like his buddies from West Virginia who are in a band. And I'm like, nope, that's not the show I want to do. I don't want to deal with interviews. I don't really care. I will have a member of Prophets of Rage come on here and explain the chicken sound.
Please. We just want one question, 5 minutes of your time, sir.
That's literally the only question I have. I don't give a shit about anything else they have to say. I will promote the album. It's fine. Please explain the chicken sound. Where did it come
five
from?
Minutes.
Who made it?
Oh, my gosh.
That's all I care about. All right. I don't know how the hell I missed that driving around. I do know. My brain was on other stuff. And by this point in the album, it was starting to become background noise.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This one I don't remember being crazy about either. This is Who Owns Who.
The floor, the feeling, life going, take a ride.
Yeah, that gets a big meh for me. I mean, it's okay. I just, like, I'm not particularly crazy about it. I don't know. What'd you think?
I liked it. I thought it was, here's the thing. I listened to this album a lot over the past few days because obviously I want to be familiar with what we're talking about. But as we've discussed there, I think a couple weeks ago, where there are some albums where I'm just like, okay, I'm going to give it a couple listens and then I'm moving on. Well, after this is a grower, you know, the shower versus grower. This is a grower. And what I found is that this particular song right here, almost every single one of these songs on this album are toe-tapping, head-bobbing songs. If you listen to them for a little while, they grow on you. Now, I think my opinion is that this is one of the most politically charged songs on here. I mean, because he's clearly telling people to burn fucking flags and like riot and shit, it sounds like. I wanted to get into a little bit of a discussion, but I don't want to press that because I don't think we have the time to get into what in the hell he's talking about here. But again, I think it's very politically charged, and I dig it. I dug it myself. So there you go.
Okay. No, I don't. And that's the thing is I don't want to get into the politics of what's happening on this album. I really don't.
Yeah, it's tough to have an album like this on here and not feel like you gotta say something because I know mostly you, Mark Radlich, you feel the music rather than actually really read and get into what the lyrics say. So I respect that because there is a lot to say about what these guys are putting out there and how it sounds. And it sounds to me, I enjoy just about everything that they put on there. But the political message sometimes. Hoo-wee. Boy, you could talk for hours on that shit.
Yeah. And I'm really just not interested, you know? Like
I hear you.
Look, if you're into it and you know, you're if as a musician you're passionate about a subject and that's what you want to talk about, I don't hold that against people. And you know, and I'll listen to it whether or not I agree with it or even know what the hell you're talking about. But I'm not going to talk about it. You know, like
you
made fun of the drones thing just because, like, it's so prevalent in the album, and to me, it's such a non-issue.
It is for us.
but there is obviously some important things that they're talking about here, but I don't care. You know,
yeah,
that's not how they're reaching me. All right, let's go ahead and move forward here. This is Hands Up, Don't Shoot. It's got a little heavier beat to it. I like the rap style. It's good stuff.
Oh, yeah. This is something that I all of a sudden found myself dancing to earlier today. I mean, I was getting down. My son has become – I don't know where he got this from. I'll probably attribute it to the YouTubes. But all of a sudden, my son thinks – like. I mean, I'd say he thinks, but he can do a pretty good job. He can break dance. Like, he'll stop and do a robot and do all sorts of crazy stuff. So now I got to compete with him. I was listening to Hands Up today, and by golly, I put on a show.
All right. Boots scooting around the house. I like it. All right. This is the last track of the night. This is one word, Smash It. Smash It. to cut Chuck D off there. I thought that was a good way to end the album. Hey, I meant to ask you before, what did you think of that Beastie Boys song?
Oh, that's good stuff, man. I love me some AC/DC, love me some Beastie Boys. So, you get again, great little mashup.
Here's my closing thoughts on this album. It's obviously not perfect. A couple of songs on here are not particularly strong, but for the most part, it's fine. It gets a B- from me, just because of some of the problems that it's got. But overall, I think it's a good effort from the remaining members of Rage Against the Machine and, you know, old Father Time, Chuck D, and Be Real. I mean, look, it's their first collaboration of, you know, for new material. You know, and sometimes you hit it out of the park, and sometimes it's just an average effort. I think it's fine. It needs work. Hope maybe, you know, if they stay together, maybe the next time around it'll be a little bit better. But for now, it's an average effort.
All right. I will give this a thumbs up. No problem there. I think I enjoy just about every song on this album. They have some really great songs on here. Despite what Mark Ratledge may think of Take Me Higher, I won't say that that's something that, you know, compares to some of the other original material on this album, because there is some great original material. That's just a personal preference for me, is Take Me Higher. But regardless, when you get into this album, you know, and you look at it and you're thinking, oh, it's going to be a politically powerful piece. Well, remember who we have as members in here. Okay. Yes, we have members from Public Enemy. Yes, we have members from Rage Against the Machine, but we have Be Real from Cypress Hill. Again, he is going to bring, I think, the levity to some of these songs. So don't think everything's going to be just a political powerhouse piece. That's not the case, I think. I think there's a lot of fun to be had in this album, and they do a great job of keeping you interested. Not one of these songs, I think, in my opinion, are slow, methodical, and just, you know, something that will put you to sleep. Every single one of these has a great beat to it and a great sound and some life. So easily a thumbs up. I would recommend it to a lot of people that I know for sure, whether they're Rage fans or whether they're Public Enemy fans. I think I would say, hey, give this a shot.
Okay. Next week, it's been out now, I think, for about 2 weeks. Came out on September 8th. This just came out this past Friday, the 15th. So I wanted to get it done as soon as possible. I was really excited about it, which meant we had to put off Arch Enemy. But Jesse and I both agreed Arch Enemy may be the second best album of the year so far.
It's up there for sure.
Next to Creator, which was an early contender for best album of the year. We're going to talk about it next week here on the Metal Hammer of Doom, Arch Enemy. And then in the month of October, October 4th, we've got the Desaturated 7 by Primus. On the 11th is the new Cradle of Filth. And we finally have a date for the new Marilyn Manson. We'll talk about, I believe it's called Heaven Side Up. Yep, Heaven Upside Down. Some of the fucking these titles. So we got the new Marilyn Manson on October 18th. The new Stray from the Path, which I really like. I've been listening to that. That's a great album. If you're into metalcore, that's the October 25th. And then our Halloween show, we've had a schedule change. We're gonna do the new Motorhead covers album, Undercover. So that's what we got going on in the next couple of months. Next week be the last week of September, and for the whole month of October. I've got some really good stuff lined up. I'm really excited to talk about these. What do you think, Jesse? We got Primus, Cradle of Filth, Marilyn Manson, Stray from the Path, and Motorhead. You excited?
That sounds epic. I may have some issues with Marilyn Manson, so you're going to have to hold my hand through it.
As long as I have been married to Melissa, she has told me on several occasions how Marilyn Manson scared the shit out of her when she was a kid, And to this day, she still can't listen to his music. Now, she's put up with listening to The Beautiful People because they tend to play it a lot on the Sirius XM station that we listen to. The one station we both agree on. But, like, not normally, like, I remember the first couple of years we were married, she would hear that, and, like, she just yell out, nope, and then switch it. She wasn't having shit. But she's gotten slightly more tolerant of Marilyn Manson. Not that she'd be interested in listening to any of that album, but she can at least handle, you know, a 20-year-old Marilyn Manson or 30-year-old Marilyn Manson song. I don't remember how even old this shit is. I remember Portrait of an American Family came out in my first year of college, so that was 1994.
Yeah, I was going to say, first time I remember hearing of Marilyn Manson was college, probably freshman or sophomore year. So I've been 96, 97.
All right, so what's going on the source material? Because I the summer movie season is over, and until we get to – well, we did throw on the schedule the old DC meets Hanna-Barbera.
Oh, yeah.
And if we can get Josh Calandro's on the show, we're going to have him do the judging again because that was fun.
Oh, yeah.
and that we're doing October 2nd. But I've pretty much been leaving you alone. So what do you got going on the source material?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I dropped a promo spot with my buddy Jordan Lowe, who runs the River City Comic Con up here. So he kind of talked about the events that were leading up to the River City Comic Con. We had a good time there. I got to join some friends from the Kapow, the Pop Culture Podcast, on a panel, and we did trivia with the audience, and that was a lot of fun. There were prizes involved, all sorts of fun stuff there. And then this past Monday, we kind of took a back seat, and I invited a friend of mine, a local comedian by the name of Joel Gant, to come on, and we did a real special show called The Remix Recap. We both got the opportunity to go watch Throwdown for the Pound 16, Wizard of Paws, which I had probably one of the best matches I'd ever seen, which was a triple threat tag match involving Colt Cabana, Hornswoggle, the Mega Plowers, and Grado and Bubba Ray Dudley. It was absolutely amazing and hilarious. So anyway, that kind of took the spot here this past Monday. If you guys want to check out all the results from the Remix Throwdown for the Pound, me and Joel Gant brought it to you, talked about it a lot, about an hour podcast. So as for what's upcoming for source material, right now I really don't have a schedule. I know what I wanted to do was to do the trivia sometime this month, where we were supposed to have a trivia championship. I'm going to say it right, championship here on the network at some point. Now, of course, that entails me getting three or four people together at a time to sit down, do some trivia for about half hour and then, or 45 minutes and then turn them loose. Everybody's schedule was a little bit mixed up. You know, Mark, obviously you had to deal with a few things down there in Florida, and you know, just coordinating all that stuff's a little bit of a task. Want to put my mind to it, see what I can do. Other than that, I really don't have anything set out. I got all sorts of ideas, but I don't have anything on the schedule. I watch Mark Radulich schedule things, and I am nothing compared to that. I'm the guy that sits back and says, well, maybe I'll figure out something to do next week. But yeah, keep an eye out because we want to bring you some more content. Go give the Radulich and Broadcasting Network Facebook page a like to stay up on top of all the great podcasts that we have to offer. We do MMA. We do sports. We also do metal, as you just heard, and we also do comics, source material comic book podcast right on there. You can check it out. Have over 130 some episodes. Talk about a lot of good comic book stories there. TV, movies, all sorts of fun stuff. Check that out. You can follow me at Stiznarky on Twitter. Mark Radulich, I turn it back over to you, sir.
All right. If you've enjoyed me and Jesse bantering tonight, tune in tomorrow on the Radulich and Broadcasting Network at 9 p.m. We'll be doing another TV party tonight, and we'll be looking at a Netflix original with Justin Bateman called and Laura Linney, called Ozark. In the tradition of Breaking Bad, middle class, upper middle class, white guy gets involved with drug dealers. Film at 11. it's another one of those kinds of shows. Jesse hit me to it. I said, hey, you know, I've got some open spots on the calendar. I don't have a whole lot going on. at the moment, you know, what do you want to talk about? And he was like, have you seen Ozark yet? Because you should. It's your bag. It's crime and drugs. And I said, oh, well, that certainly sounds like my cup of tea. So in between trying to get through 7 seasons of Game of Thrones and 3 seasons of Narcos, I also binge watched Ozark, and I got it done Tuesday night. So we're going to talk about it this Thursday at 9 o'clock. Hope you'll join
us. I want you to think of something, because I'm going to try and remember to ask you this tomorrow. You have to place that show amongst the rest of the Netflix shows where I want you to come up with a number, or at least if you're going to like a top 5, top 10, where are you going to place Ozark? Cause I want to know after we get done talking tomorrow.
Okay. Well, we can do that. I'll have to give it some thought. I also have to think about what shows I've seen, because like, you know, Orange is the New Black, that's number one. Orange is the New Black is one of those where like it drops at like 3 o'clock in the morning and 3:01 I'm on Netflix.
You also gotta count the Marvel stuff in there as well, that Netflix Marvel stuff. So it may be a tough road for Ozark then.
Luke Cage is definitely number two then, because the never ending concerts didn't fucking bother me like the rest of my people.
I'm glad they put all those concerts in there. Now I the Luke Cage playlist has got to be out there on Spotify somewhere.
All right, Honkies, we're done for the night. We'll be back next week, as I said, for Jesse Starcher, the Disapproving Dad. I am your mandated reporter, Mr. Mark Rattledge. Be well, be safe, and behave.